Okay, let's get into this. We talk about tech news all the time, right?
Yeah.
And usually it's a pretty standard rhythm.
Mm.
A new phone drops, the camera has a few more megapixels, screen's a bit brighter, and, you know, we all politely clap and move on.
Right. It's incremental.
But then you get a day like February 10th, 2026.
Exactly. It's one of those rare moments where the calendar flips and you realize you aren't just looking at a new product. You're looking at a before and after line in history.
We are looking at a stack of reports here from Tech and Game. Specifically, their analysis, Tech and Night, the convergence of biology and bits. And honestly, convergence feels like a polite way of saying collision.
It does.
We're not just talking about a new game or a laptop. We're talking about everything hitting the fan at once.
It is a massive shift. What the source material here is suggesting, and it's a bold claim, is that AI, high-end gaming, and biological hardware have finally met at a single intersection point.
Right. And the mission for this deep dive is to figure out why this specific day, February 10th, 2026, is being called a turning point in the evolution of digital species.
Which sounds like sci-fi.
It sounds totally like sci-fi, but reading through this Tech and Night analysis, the evidence is actually there.
It is real, and to understand it, you have to look at the scope. We're analyzing a historic day with major releases like Resident Evil Requiem, the GTA VI AI revolution, and a fundamental shift in hardware. But the core argument, really, is that technology is no longer just a tool we use.
Mm-hmm.
The claim is that technology is now learning us.
That phrase stuck with me. Learning us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to the philosophy of that. But first, the tangible stuff.
The software.
Because this report breaks down two massive gaming releases. And they aren't just games anymore. They're being called software that breathes.
Right. And usually you hear breathing worlds and it's just marketing fluff. But let's look at the Resident Evil Requiem Mega Report.
The return of Leon Kennedy. Now, obviously, that's huge for the fans. I'm sucker for nostalgia. Seeing Leon back is great.
Of course.
But the source makes it clear this isn't just fan service. They're calling it a redefinition of survival mechanics in 2026.
And what stands out to me here isn't just the character. It's the fusion the report talks about. Capcom proved something critical.
What's that?
They proved that fear can be combined with ultra-realistic graphics in a way we just haven't seen before.
It's interesting you say that. Usually there's this weird inverse law in horror games, right? When the graphics get too real, you actually lose the atmosphere.
Yeah, it becomes clinical.
It looks like a tech demo, not a nightmare.
Exactly. The uncanny valley usually breaks the immersion. But the analysis here says high-fidelity visuals and genuine horror mechanics are coexisting effectively for the first time.
So it's not just jump scares in 8K.
No, it's about pushing the boundary of how much psychological stress a player can enjoy when the visual fidelity is, you know, basically indistinguishable from reality. It's bridging that gap.
Between playing a game and experiencing a simulation.
That's it.
Which is a perfect segue to the other titan in the room. If Resident Evil is refining the simulation of fear, GTA Zizai is apparently redefining the simulation of, well, everything else.
This is the heavy hitter, the technical dissection of GTA 6.
The report calls it the AI revolution. And it says something pretty definitive. AI is no longer an option in gaming. It's the backbone.
Right.
Now, I have to play devil's advocate. We've heard about living worlds since Skyrim. We've heard NPCs have schedules for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this report treating GTA size like it's reinventing the wheel?
Because for the last 15 years, those schedules were just complicated scripts. If you followed an NPC in Skyrim long enough, you saw the loop.
Oh, yeah.
They walk to the market, they hammer a wall, they go to sleep, there were furniture that could move.
It's a dressing, exactly.
The source describes the world of this game, Leonida, as the first digital world that breathes without direct human intervention.
That's the key phrase.
That is the key difference. It's powered by large language models.
So wait, the developers didn't write the script for the guy selling hot dogs?
They wrote the drives, the personality parameters, but the dialogue, the reaction to you crashing a car into his stand, that is being generated in real time by an LLM.
That is wild.
Weird.
So breathes without direct human intervention means the developers built the world, turned on the switch, and the world just runs itself.
Precisely. The report calls this the end of the era of dead games.
I love that phrasing, the era of dead games.
It's a profound shift. A dead game is a world that waits for you. If you put the controller down, nothing meaningful happens.
The world freezes.
It freezes or loops. But in this new era, powered by these LLMs, the world of Leonida continues to churn. factions might go to war, the economy could shift, NPCs might have conversations you never ever hear all because they have autonomy.
So you're not the main character of the universe anymore. You're just a person in a universe.
In a way, yes. And that's what makes it feel genuinely alive. It's the difference between watching a play where everyone is hitting their marks and walking through a busy city. One is rehearsed, the other is chaotic, organic, unpredictable.
Okay, but here's where my skepticism kicks in again. This sounds incredible, but computing power isn't magic. Running a world where every single NPC has a brain,
yeah.
That sounds incredibly expensive.
It is.
You can't run that on a PlayStation 5 from 2020.
And that is exactly where the Tekken Knight report pivots. You can't have software that breathes if you have hardware that chokes. This is where we have to talk about infrastructure.
The Malt Book.
The Malt Book.
It's funny. In the outline of this massive convergence, you see brain implants, AI revolutions, and then a laptop.
Right.
It feels almost mundane. But the report insists this hardware is the linchpin. Why?
It comes down to what you just said. Processing power. Specifically local processing power.
Okay.
See, for a long time, the trend was put it in the cloud. Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, the brains were in a server farm somewhere, not on your device.
Right.
But you cannot run a game like GTA VI where reaction times need to be instant. If every NPC's brain is pinging a server 2,000 miles away, the latency would just kill it.
Kill your immersion.
Completely. To have living software, you need the digital blast furnace to be right there in front of you.
So the Moltbook isn't just a faster laptop, it's an edge AI device.
Exactly. The Moltbook laptop analysis highlights this. It represents that necessary leap in raw, local computational grunt, specifically neural processing units, NPUs, to run these LLMs on the metal. It's the engine room.
Okay, so we have the engine room with Moltbook. But the report takes an even sharper turn when it talks about how we interact with all this. The section on Neuralink gadgets and the body is hardware.
This is the strategic analysis that I think this is going to be the hardest pill for people to swallow.
The report says, and I'm looking at the quote right here, we finally realize that mobile phones are becoming archaeological artifacts.
It's a bold claim.
It's massive. I mean, I'm holding my phone right now. I check it 500 times a day. The idea that this thing is basically a fossil, are they jumping the gun?
Well, look at the logic in the source. They sum up the shift of 2026 with a single sentence. 2026 is the year we don't wear technology, we feel it.
Don't wear it, we feel it.
Think about the progression. It's always been about reducing the distance between your intent and the action.
Right. Punch cards, then typing, then a mouse.
Then touch a screen. And now.
Now we just think.
That's the convergence. The Neuralink analysis suggests the barrier is gone. If the technology is integrated, if you are feeling the interface, then looking at a rectangle of glass in your hand feels incredibly slow.
It feels like smoke signals when you have a fiber optic cable.
That's a great analogy, and this all connects back to the gaming software. You talked about immersion. You can't have a fully immersive world like Leonida if you're staring at it through a 6-inch window.
Mm.
The hardware shift Neuralink, the body as hardware, is necessary to support the software revolution.
It's starting to make sense why they call it a convergence. It's not just three cool things happening at once. There are dependencies.
They all lean on each other.
You can't have the game without the Moltbook. You can't fully experience the living world without the Neuralink interface.
And you can't have any of it without the money to fund it.
Ah, yes. The strategic dissection. The money.
The silent revolution.
The report notes an unexpected surge in semiconductor stocks on February 10th, which, given what we just said about the Moltbook and processing power, makes total sense.
It does. The analysis shows that games like GTA VI are, quote, pulling all the world's computational power towards them. It's like a gravitational well for compute.
But there's a statistic here that I need you to explain to me, because it sounds insane.
Go on.
The economic model projects that in 2026, the value of data generated by AI in GTA ZE6 will exceed the total GDP of some developing countries.
Yes.
How? It's a video game. How is the data from a teenager running around a digital city worth more than the GDP of an entire nation?
Because it's not just game data. Think about what we said. Leonida is a simulation of a living society.
Yeah.
It has millions of autonomous agents interacting, trading, fighting, negotiating. That is arguably the most valuable data set on Earth. It's a perfect behavioral simulation.
Oh.
If you can model how a million AI agents react to a sudden economic crash in the game or a supply chain disruption, that data solves real-world problems.
I see. It's training data.
It's the ultimate training data. It trains robotics for the real world. It trains customer service AI. It trains logistics models. That's why the source says the economy is shifting to the digital blast furnaces of Leonida.
We aren't smelting steel anymore. We're smelting behavior.
That's the idea.
That is actually kind of terrifying, but also brilliant. It explains why the isolated laboratories of Capcom are suddenly economic powerhouses.
They own the simulation. Exactly. And that brings us to the philosophy of it all. Because you can't have a shift this big without asking what it means for us.
This is where we get to Majid's final verdict.
The verdict from the version dated Feb 10th.
He says, "Today for me was not just another workday." And then he drops this line. "We're entering an age where learning technology is no longer necessary, because technology itself is learning us."
That's the crux of the entire report. Technology itself is learning us.
Let's dig into that. Because usually when I get a new gadget, I have to learn the manual, learn the quirks, learn the machine's language.
Right. If I swipe left, this happens. Yep. You're bending your brain to fit the machine's logic.
And Majid is saying that's over.
He's saying the friction is reversing. In an AI-driven world with things like Neuralink, the environment reacts to you. It anticipates you. It adapts to your behavior.
So if I'm in GTA EA and I'm a peaceful player, the game learns that.
It learns it, and the world reshapes itself around you. If you use Neuralink, it learns your intent before you even fully formulate the command. You aren't inputting codes. The system is interpreting your existence.
That sounds incredibly convenient, but also there's a loss of control there, isn't there?
That's the trade-off.
If I don't have to learn the system, I don't really understand how it works.
That's it. And the source describes Feb 10 not just as a date, but as a turning point in the evolution of digital species.
Digital species. That implies the software is alive.
It implies that the software is evolving, becoming a species of its own, and we are co-evolving with it. Majid notes that seeing AI, gaming, and hardware all meet at a single point is a strange feeling.
It is strange. It's exciting, but it's the feeling of realizing that you aren't the only intelligent thing in the room anymore.
Even if the room is a laptop screen. And the report ends on this note that tomorrow, Feb 11, will be even bigger. They have just started the engine.
That's the takeaway. Feb 10 was the ignition. The engine is running now. The convergence has happened. The silos between biology, bits, and the economy are just gone.
It's one fluid system. And once that engine starts, you can't really turn it off.
So let's try to wrap our heads around this for you, the listener, because we've covered a lot. If we boil this Tech & Night report down, we're looking at three massive pillars.
First, living software. That's GTA, ZI, Resident Evil. The move from scripted entertainment to autonomous breathing worlds.
Second, biological hardware. The move from smartphones, those archaeological artifacts, to Neuralink and the local powerhouses like the Moltbook. The body becomes the interface.
And third, the economic dominance of AI data. The realization that these digital worlds are now economic engines that rival nations, producing the most valuable commodity on Earth, behavioral data.
And the message from the source to you is actually pretty optimistic, despite how overwhelming this all sounds.
It is.
They say explicitly, technology is not the enemy. It's an extension of our existence.
They think that's vital. It's easy to feel threatened when you hear about technology learning us. But the source frames it as an extension. Expanding what we can do, what we can feel.
Understanding this shift puts you ahead of the curve. You're not just watching the news. You're seeing the pattern.
You're seeing the convergence.
But before we sign off, I want to leave you with a thought. Something to chew on while you look at that ancient smartphone in your hand.
Go for it.
We talked about technology learning us. We talked about autonomous worlds and neural connections. If the technology knows what you want before you do, and the world adapts to your thoughts, at what point does the distinction between the user and the operating system completely disappear?
That's the real question, isn't it?
Are we using the system or are we just a part of its code now?
I think we're going to find out sooner than we think.
We'll be keeping an eye on the Tekken Morning Feb 11 update to see where this engine takes us next. Thanks for diving in with us.
See you on the other side.